Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff 16. It's Jeremy Shahid, and this week we meant to do this last week when it would be more timely. But now that we've actually had a week to digest everything, we're going to talk about the mid-season finales of some of our favorite shows. Ratings-wise, they're pretty popular too. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, and the grandfather of the group by now, Arrow. In its third season. It's the oldest show. So, let's just start like we just literally decided on. Let's start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man. Kind of weird for a television show to set up a movie franchise.
Yeah, well, this whole S.H.I.E.L.D. just seemed like such a weird show because it's kind of like, it's almost, I like to call it, S.H.I.E.L.D. before the Winter Soldier is a completely different show than S.H.I.E.L.D. after the Winter Soldier. Like, the first half is kind of like, you know, you see the foundations of a decent show, but they're still trying to figure out how to do a lot of annoying things. It's kind of like, yeah, if this wasn't an ABC flagship show, the show might get canceled after the first season. And then as soon as the Winter Soldier came out, it's like they just almost like a reboot of the whole show, and it felt like a real show. And it just, I'm amazed at how much it improved, even from from season one to season two, even how good the second half of season one was. Like, season two just seems like wow, like, where was this show at? And then I was kind of pissed, like, the same thing, like, this is not coming back until March when the mid-season finale was over. I was like, wow, I would have never thought I'd be pissed that I had to wait till March to see S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's exactly how I felt, especially with the way they ended it. Mm-hmm. They actually made you care about people you didn't think you'd care about. And they actually paid off a bunch of stuff. But yeah, but going back to we'll go back to what you said to begin with. I remember talking to you about this show last year, and that first half of the season was brutal. There were some really bad episodes, and the one that kept me going was Sky running in her dress or bikini or bra, whatever it was. And I'm like, you know what? If that's what it takes to keep people's eyes on the show, God bless them. But yeah, I mean, as soon as the Winter Soldier came out and it, you know, the show said, all right, now we can finally have fun, that became some pretty riveting stuff. I mean, I know riveting's a big word, but for somebody who gets into the comic books and this sort of goofy action, that was some riveting stuff.
It's an accurate statement. I mean, like, the biggest change was, like, the first half is kind of like, you know, you got Coulson and May and then a bunch of blank-faced white people. Not to make, you know, kind of, oh, Fitz and Simmons, they got different names that go together. One's in the science and one is in, like, biology, and they're British. You got Ward's like just straight out of an Abercrombie like modeling book. He's just, you know, a plain old boring baby face. You got Magic Girl Sky, the world's around her, and you know, if she's not running her what hackers, you know, look like that and act like that. But ever since that whole Sandra Bullock movie with the net, I always laugh when I see thinking like people like her and Angelina Jolie, and now Sky, like, yes, these are world-class computer hackers. Come on. Like, yeah. What universe? So even the Marvel universe is kind of pushing it a little bit. But, and then once they got the whole, it was kind of like, they were giving clues, like, you know, it's a lot of stuff we want to do, but we can't do it now. We just got to get to this point. And they tried to drop a little more, you know, we'll have a Nick Fury cameo. We'll have Sif from Thor do an episode to try to hold you over, but still it's kind of like just convoluted. But then once the shackles were off, it's like, we're just going to do a show, and your boy Bill Paxton started with that, with his arc. Mm-hmm. And then it just let up. Yeah, and then just how they changed the character, like, you know, wounded Fitz, that was kind of like every time he was on a show, I just felt sad. Like, I didn't care about him season one, but season two, I just had a lot of sympathy for him. Like, I cared about, you know, crazy-ass Ward on his old Hannibal Lecter routine, Sky all of a sudden shooting people. You know, it's just kind of like, and then the new people they added a lot to the show, even though they didn't give as much time to some of them as they should have. It still made the show, you know, more, like you said, riveting.
Well, speaking on that part, the end of you know, the season, the mid-season finale or winter finale, I guess they're calling them now. I noticed that a lot. Poor Triplett met an untimely demise.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
He was a bit player in season one, and he decided to stick around. But they did such an excellent job of building him up, you know, as somebody who's not part of the regular cast. They did a good job of making you care about the guy.
Yeah.
And they even had like a little budding romance with him and I always get these two backwards.
Simmons and the chick, Fitz and the dude.
Yeah, with Simmons, and then, you know, Fitz was a little taken aback, like, wait a minute. And all of a sudden he just dies.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. That whole some movie tropes or some TV shows will never go out of the comedy. You know, of course, the black guy died in the show, even though he lasted there. But as soon as he went back down there, and I was like, this is not going to end well. I don't know how it's going to end. At first, I thought maybe because he saw kind of Raina survive. You know, you saw a little glimpse. You see too much. You see Sky definitely survive. So like, okay, so maybe Tripper will survive. And then he just comes in the dust, and I'm like, damn. That's what I said out loud. I was just like, damn. Just shook my head.
Well, see, I was really into it, so I actually did the, like, when they went through and everyone went into their cocoon, which I guess that's what, an ash cocoon, whatever it was, and he went in, I'm like, you know what, maybe that's why they built him up a little bit more. And then I started thinking, well, they built him up enough, and they cut away and cut back, and she breaks out, and Rena breaks out, I'm like, okay. And when she touches him, he just crumbles. I did the whole, like, shock, like, hands on the head. Like, you got to be kidding. Because it's very strange for a show to kill somebody off when there's unresolved plot, like, there's unresolved storylines for him. But I was with you, like, when he went down, I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to, something bad's going to happen to him. I didn't expect him to die.
Yeah.
And especially in a pretty final way. Like, Coulson dies, they bring him back with the shenanigans with the inhuman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But him.
Yeah, unless they have like a magic broom and dustpan, he ain't coming back.
The magic shop vac. So, wait a minute, I got this. And Fitz pulls out a briefcase. Yeah, just that of a show that had a lot of reveals, that was the big one to me. That was the one that stuck. Like, you know, Skye's name is now Daisy. I guess it's Daisy Johnson, I believe. And she's a character called Quake in the comics. And apparently if you're a big Marvel fan, you kind of knew that's who that was going to turn out to be. I had no clue.
I didn't either. I mean, people kept, you know, dropping hints like, I think ever since they talked about, you know, finding a blue body, it's kind of dropped hints, well, maybe Skye's an inhuman. And then especially with her crazy ass dad, it's kind of like you knew she was somebody. And it's kind of like it built up until they did a good job kind of building that whole storyline because, you know, who her mom was, why the dad acted the way he's acting and everything. It's kind of, yeah. Cause and of course, how do you pronounce McLaughlin? McClanahan?
I've never been able to get the guy from Showgirls, Dune, and Twin Peaks.
I would say the guy from Dune because I've always remember him from Dune. So he it's hard to play that role because it's real easy to just be hanging over the top, and you got to find a balance between being like, you know, a maniacal madman with a sense of humor and like a caring, grieving father, and just find that balance. And he did an excellent job because he made me care about Skye more than I ever thought I was going to care about Skye.
He also apparently he's a character from the comics too.
Yes, yeah, he is too.
I guess when he gets angry, he's kind of like a mini Hulk. When he gets angry, his emotional outbursts, he gets resistant and then also very strong or something, which is shown from when, like, you know, he just tore those guys apart basically. But no, I like how they give these guys these small arcs. Like even Bill Paxton, he was just there to chew scenery and have a lot of fun. And that's all that seems like Kyle, good old what's his name is. Let me see. I'm gonna see if I can find a.
Kyle of Doom. Let's call him that.
Kyle of Doom. Yeah, Dune. Excuse me. Yes. Hang on. I'm looking up on Wikipedia. Oh my God. It's okay. It's backslash M E upside and upside down E apostrophe G L A hyphen K L upside down E N backslash. In other words, Kyle from Dune. So
McLaughlin, I think.
How's that?
McLaughlin.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, I guess. But I'm still sticking with Kyle from Dune. So. Which, by the way, have you tried watching Dune in the last 20 years of your life?
Oh, of course. It's the most unintentionally hilarious thing I've seen in a long time. Let me put it this way. I read the book. I saw the movie first, and then I read the book. I thought the movie looked goofy when I saw it back in the 80s when I was a kid. When I read the book and then saw the movie again, I was like, this is just – I always think, like, the 80s, they had some good-ass drugs. Like, how the hell did this get, like, seeing Sting with a leather diaper on just chewing up scenery like a goofball? I'm like, wait, this was in movie theaters? Like, I saw it on TV. I'm like, maybe this is like a TV movie and, like, you know, ABC movie of the week or like a miniseries. I'm like, no, this was actually released in film. I'm like, Lord have mercy. But I watch it every time it comes on, you know, it's horrible. Just to see, you know, like Patrick Stewart with a little bit of hair and Sting just hammered up.
And that's a David Lynch movie.
Yes.
That's just crazy. And I guess he's, I don't know if he's like disavowed it or was like, I've.
Yeah, I think it was talking about, it wasn't a cut, it wasn't the vision he had. But yeah. Well, seeing his stuff, I'm like, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, there, I was reading up. It's three different versions have been released. When in some of the credits, David Lynch's name is actually replaced with Alan Smithy. For those who don't know, whenever a director doesn't want their name on it, they choose Alan Smithy. So if you ever see that, whoever made the movie really hated it. So or they didn't get paid. One of the two. But no, I mean, so we got the triplet death. We've got the Inhumans are out. The German,
dying.
Supposedly he died.
Yeah, you never know that show. But I mean, he got hit like 3 or 4 times, and I mean, then again, he's kind of like, he's not a normal guy anyway. So, but
right. Well, he's got some of that rejuvenation stuff from. Wait, are we supposed to call her Sky or Daisy now?
Oh, she's going to be Daisy.
All right, so.
It's funny, like, you know, she's been Daisy for, like, you know, 20 minutes, and now we just got to forget the whole season and a half of her being Sky, but, hey, that's her name, that's her name.
All right. Well, Daisy's mom had, you know, was the case for him becoming younger again and slowing his aging. So could that have the same effect? And maybe help heal him, or because it seemed like there was, I mean, unless they're doing the same thing with Triplett, there seems to be more story with him. And Coulson, you know, killing him with Kyle from Dune yelling, "That was, you know, you took that away from me." It seems like that's just an unnormal amount of unresolved storylines.
Well, if he pops up in April, I guess that will answer your question.
True. Well, no, it's March, right?
No, I'm talking about, well, I'm assuming, like, if he pops up, it'll be later on down the season, so.
That's true. The strange thing is Inhumans doesn't come out until 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just strange to start, like I said at the start, it's strange to start a franchise, like a new movie franchise off of a TV show that's not coming out for another 2 years.
Well, you know, get a head start and get enough people, you know. I think they're taking advantage in this kind of, like, maybe that's the idea of S.H.I.E.L.D.
use that as like a, you know, stepping stone, like a practice run, like get these people knowing about us. About the time that the Inhumans do come, it's kind of like, okay, we know what it's about. We have some idea what it is. So it's not like, you know, boom, plopping this. Because you can kind of do that, but, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is the exception. That ain't the rule. Like, I'm just plopping anything in here and it's going to work. I guess the Inhumans kind of like, you know, since we can't use the X-Men, this is going to be our version of mutants.
What were they calling them in Avengers? Miracles or something?
Miracles.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? Miracles. But yeah, no, I stand corrected. Actually, Inhumans comes out in 2018, not 16. So, you got a long way to go, but I hope that means they're going to avoid the same plague of here's the origin story and now the end. Now, wait for the second movie for it to be worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm hoping that they do. I mean, not that I want Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to become, you know, become strictly Inhumans only. I think it'd be nice.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be something else, you know, added to the show. And I think it's done a good job, like, balancing a lot of different plates. Just think about the first episode starts off, you got Lucy Lawless. Oh, you know, this is new for her team. And she dies by the, you know, before the first episode's over.
Well, I'm thank like, you. Oh. I forgot about that.
It's going to be that type of season. Like, we're just going to get Lucy Lawless and just knock her off in 50 minutes. And then Adrian Palicki was there. She was around for, I thought she was going to be there for like two episodes. And she was there for a while. Like, what, four, five, or something like that.
Now, with her character's Mockingbird. Apparently, she becomes Mockingbird later in the next half of the season. With a blonde hair complete and all that. Well, is she a movie star or a TV star? Because I know the line's gotten blurred, very, very blurred now, but I always considered her a movie person, so seeing her on TV is kind of weird.
I would say that she's probably more famous for her TV stuff. Because the only movie thing that she's – well, she was in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, actually.
She was in John Wick. She was in there. But – you know, I never saw Friday Night Lights, so I just know her from my movie stuff. But most people know her from Friday Night Lights. So it's kind of like she's a TV star that's done movies, or a movie star that does TV. It's kind of like.
All right. Well, I guess it depends on your perspective then, because I had no idea who she was until she was in G.I. Joe. And that's why when they said they cast her on. S.H.I.E.L.D., I was confused. Like, wow, that's kind of a step. I don't know. Maybe that's an old school way of thinking, a step back, because, you know.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Spacey does Netflix TV shows, and John Goodman's on Amazon TV show.
And you just saw Matthew McConaughey do HBO with Woody Harrelson. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, and I think those are like that's probably the tipping point to where it's like, all right, anybody can do anything now. And it'll be okay. But I'm just trying to think in a grander scheme of if they somehow include Mockingbird in the Marvel movies, like, is she going to stand out like a sore thumb with, like, Chris Evans, you know, Robert Downey Jr., all that sort of stuff, depending on the movie, of course.
Because it's kind of like... I mean, well, she's done more smuff than Kobe Smulders. And I guess, you know, I guess Coulson fit in on the Avengers, but it's kind of like since he built the character up in all the other movies, but he wasn't a big deal before those movies came out. Clark Gregg's not a movie star, but he never seemed like, what's this guy doing here? I mean, if the cast is good enough, I could see her being in the movie, but as far as like, you know, seeing her fight with like Scarlett Johansson and Hawkeye's like...
Yeah, I'm not even talking fighting. I just mean like presence wise. Like if there's a discussion, you know, like why is the B character talking to the A character? I mean, I know Coulson was like a bridge and all that, but with her, it's just kind of. And really, she's the only one I think about this, because like the other ones would stand like a sore thumb if they were on a movie screen.
Oh, no doubt.
guess because you used to seeing him on TV. But I mean, I guess if you had like you had Maria Hill there, and you had enough like on the show. What was the guy name? Was that agent Stillwell, Sitwell, whatever? Like you know, so you had enough minor characters, kind of like oh they interacted and it was fine, so it worked out. So you could do it. I think you could do it with her, and yeah, I think just maybe May, maybe, but that's about it. The rest of them kind of like you on the wrong set, kid. Like what are you doing?
Yeah, why are you showing up in my movie? I'm totally confused here. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought of that. And I actually was thinking about that today. Because it always seems like at some point or another there's gotta be something. And maybe Civil War will do it. Maybe the Avengers Infinity War will do it, bring everybody together. You know, in my little like nerdish brain that I'm thinking, wow, this is gonna be awesome. They're all gonna be on screen at the same time. And then I look and I'm like, oh, there's Fitz and Simmons. Oh, there's the Incredible Hulk. Like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Like, I don't know. I in a, on a in a comic book, I would be like, all right, this is kind of cool. But like in reality, it just kind of stands out strange. So, but that has nothing to do with the end of the Shield. That was really about all. You know, eight was it Agent 13? She takes off with a dead body guy and with Ward, who apparently.
Oh, I missed just one thing, and I'm glad you brought up Ward. That scene when Sky just plugs Ward three times and just keeps it moving, like never turn your back to the enemy, and just keeps it walking. I'm like, that is pure Joss Whedon, and I laughed my ass off. Because it was just so unexpected. You're thinking, oh, you know, maybe they might reconcile and get all maybe kind of like I understand all that. Nope. Pop, 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 and kept it moving.
Yep, it
And you
just kept
just
right
like.
on walking by. It was that got a laugh, but at the same time, it was a fun character moment too. Because like last season, even maybe early this season, she would've tried to reconcile with him, whatever else. Oh, and before we move from Shield to Flash, I like seeing the multiple Patton Oswalt characters. Because it. And it could get real old, but I enjoyed how the one guy was scared, the other guy was all happy about being on the plane. And he just they're in the middle. I can't remember who was in the middle of them.
Was it Mac?
Was it Mac?
Was he back by then? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember either. Either Mac or the other guy. What's Mockingbird's ex-husband? I know him by his real name or his character name. Like Nick Blood stands out as a name. I cannot think of his name on the show, even though he's always on the show and he's a good character. But maybe not. I can't think of his name though.
What's his real name?
Nick Blood.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Let's see. I actually have the cast messed up, but it's not in any particular order. Because why would it be? Even alphabetical orders, that would have made sense. The Doctor, Victoria Hand, Bill Conning. Oh, it's Bill Conning, Kaning. Sorry, not Patton Oswalt character. Oh, Lance Hunter.
Okay, yeah, that is. Well, that's generic name 101 right there.
I'm looking up to see if he actually becomes somebody.
Don't do that. Spoils are fun.
No, you don't have to worry about it. He doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. They might change their mind, make a, you know, so.
Yeah.
And
Well.
they can always say, oh, this is the idea all along.
Yeah, I think the most crushing part besides the deaths and the moving on was the fact it said returning in March.
Yeah.
It
You know,
was.
we're getting Agent Carter anywhere, but still, it's kind of like that's a long wait.
Yeah, I'm not even that excited for Agent Carter, but I'll catch it. But I don't know. It seems like a totally unnecessary show. But I'm still gonna watch it to give it a chance. So.
Yeah. I think they're using it kind of like the build. I don't know. I want to do that whole time frame. I think a lot of that's one of the reasons why a lot of people like Captain America was because of that. Time frame. People definitely like that character and they like that little short they did. And it's kind of like, you know, we can knock out eight episodes and set up Shield. And they kind of dropped hint. They kind of did that with a few episodes, like stuff that happened during that time frame, set up stuff that happened on S.H.I.E.L.D. in our current time frame.
I also think that'll probably have something to do with the Avengers movie. This isn't by mistake. You know, besides putting the show up, there's a concrete plan involved with that to why it would interrupt S.H.I.E.L.D. for as long as it does.
Yeah, I'm sure Kevin Feige is sitting in his big ass house with like a wall full of diagrams and PowerPoints planned out to like 2030. Like, we're going to do this, this, and this. Like, yeah, they're not Sony, and they're not, like, you know, they have an idea. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see we have confirmation from Sony that they don't know what they're doing. So,
oh my god!
That's,
I don't even want to talk about that because we can talk about them the rest of the show. We can say that
But since speaking of time, let's zoom backwards in time on Tuesday night and go to the Flash. Boy, did they pack a lot into this episode.
Yeah. Okay. You might have to explain something to me.
Okay.
Because you know way more about the Flash than I do, and I know this question will probably make me sound like a moron. Is Wells the Reverse Flash? Is that what I'm supposed to be getting from that?
I think that's what they want people to take from that. In the comics, no. Wells isn't even a character.
Yeah, I know in the comics he's not, but I'm like, I saw the show and I'm like, is that what's going to take from that last scene? But then it's like, how?
You're supposed to take that from the last scene, and I'm convinced it's not. I think he's helping him, like, set up a chain of events that creates the Reverse Flash or whoever it is in the future. And I think they planted enough seeds for it, which I'll keep it to myself. But I think anybody else who follows the Flash or really knows not deep history, because it's all relatively new, but as soon as they announced some of the characters, it was like, oh, he becomes that, or oh, that's what that happens here, that sort of thing. And I think that because of that, they threw the Wells reveal in there. But if you're dealing with future, like future timelines and time travel and all that, it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense to give you like that red herring. Because anybody can change your voice, you know?
I get that part, but, and I'm like, okay, I know it has something to do with the future and everything like that, but then I'm like, if you get the whole time paradox crap, I'm like, well, he went back in time to beat up himself, to throw off the, like, I don't even want to think that way, because it's kind of like, I'm just going to wait and see, because the more thought I get, I'm like, okay, that can't be, I know what they're trying to hint, but that can't be it. I mean, because then it's kind of, see, now I'm doing what I was trying to avoid to do, like trying to figure out time travel and science fiction, which never, I'm like, either you handle like time cop or you handle like Looper. Like, don't even bother trying to.
I think the Looper way is the best way to do it.
Yes. Don't even bother.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And that's it. I love that part of the movie where he's talking. And he's like, well, if we're sitting here talking now, doesn't that change everything? He's like, just don't.
Otherwise, 3 minutes here just messing around with straws. So, yeah.
But no, it makes sense that Wells is in cahoots. And there's still something with Wells just because of the last name. And I think that's part of the giveaway is his initials are H.G. Wells, H.G. Wells wrote the Time Machine. Mm-hmm. Wells has something to do with the future, possibly a time traveler, but I don't think he's Zoom. I just don't. And there were certain hints in there as well, because Eddie Thwan, he even says, "Why didn't he attack me?"
Yeah.
Speaking of the actual Reverse Flash, which is kind of a weird name. It always has been.
Reverse Flash. Every time I hear that, like, does that mean he's super slow? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, wouldn't that be what that would mean? That's why it never made sense. Like, there was two different versions. There's the one guy, and then there's, oh, God, I just drew a blank. That was his name.
The one guy. The other guy.
Edward Thwan? No. There were two reverse flashes, all right, and one guy was a professor, so they called him Professor Zoom, which I thought was a much cooler name. Yeah, I know it's still your standard comic name of professor or captain or commander or something, but it still sounded better than Reverse Flash. But no, so you had that. You've got Barry professing his love for Iris all of a sudden. You got Firestorm, which I legitimately got a tear in my eye when he caught on fire and took off. Because that little kid in me that always wanted to see, like, Superman, Firestorm, you know, Aquaman, all that stuff, you finally got to see it.
Yeah, now you're seeing it.
Yeah, it may have taken...
Did you ever think we get to that point where you could see something like that on TV and it's not like, you know, it's just part of the show?
Yeah, it's not Challenge of the Super Friends. Yeah. Which, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You got strangely quiet, and I'm like, uh-oh. Did I go too far?
No. Like, I still remember those old cartoons from back then.
Oh, no. No, this isn't a cartoon.
Oh, then you might have lost me then.
Hang on. I think it was... It's not Challenge of the Super Friends. What the hell was it? It's Challenge of the Super Friends was awesome. Yeah, the animation sucked. Whatever. Area. What the hell's going on? It's all right. There was a live action TV show. And it was a special. I can't believe, like, you know, there used to be a live-action Shazam too. Like, they had Wonder Woman, they had Shazam, they had Batman.
Oh. How?
Hang on. I can't believe you didn't know this. Just if you're able to. Just Google or Yahoo's live action Shazam. You're in for some fun because Billy Batson was not a kid; he was a teenager, possibly young adult, and Captain Marvel is an old guy.
Live action Shazam.
Yeah.
What? I'll go to Google Images. What the hell is this?
You have no idea how mad I am right now.
Is this like some porn? It's like, what is, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm glad I think I'm glad I missed this.
Okay.
Like, I know this is during the 70s, right? It had to be.
Of course.
Okay, yeah. When they had good old drugs, I'm like, ugh. I was looking through the pictures. I'm seeing either pictures of The Rock or this guy with an awesome, it's not even a mullet,
All right, so now to complete the picture, Google Legends of the Superheroes.
See, now I feel like the little kids, when they found Santa Claus not real. Legends of the Superheroes. Okay. Oh, you gotta be shitting me.
Nope. And now you're going to go to YouTube when we're done, too. You know, you can't stay away from it, man.
What the hell is this? Who's this old? Why is the Riddler like an octogenarian?
No, that's Frank Gorshin. No, wait, was that what his name was? They actually got... oh, my God.
Yeah, he was old.
He was
old
the Riddler on the Batman show.
Yeah, but that came out in the 60s. When did this show come out?
70s, so yeah, I think it's kept...
Oh, he aged in dog years. What? Lord.
But, all right. So, as bad as this looks, and it is bad, okay? This is incredible for the time, though.
Yeah, I'm just amazed. Yeah, I'm thinking that, too. I'm like, I'm giving it the old curve for, you know, it was the 70s. So I'm giving it that credit. And I'm like... Like I always say, they must have some good drugs back then.
The dude that plays the guy that plays Hawkman in this, I will defend this. Outside of the goofy bottom of the mask on his helmet,
he's jacked.
That's exactly what Hawkman should look like.
Yeah,
a little four with wings. It's not hard. That's when they had Hawkman on Smallville. I was embarrassed. Like, are you kidding? But yeah, but this thing's hosted by Ed McMahon. Yeah. And did you see the picture of Sinestro? You gotta see him.
Let me see. Which one is he in? Okay. You're not talking about the guy with the, was that blue
yep.
and aqua?
That's Sinestro.
Oh my god!
I'm evil, like, kids.
Yeah, let's call cut. I got some coffee to drink. I'm just his hands on his hips, like.
But doesn't it look like he should be cleaning your table off or going?
Yes.
What did Al do from Happy Days? Ay, yi, 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 or whatever it was. That's what he should be doing.
Yeah, can I get the check, please?
I'm trying to. Where the hell is Weather Wizard's pretty swanky? He looks straight. That looks like porn parody.
Oh, man.
What the hell is. Yeah, okay. So I was about to say Green Lantern looks like he should be able to beat the hell out of Sinestro. He still should, but boy, that's. Still looks like a better costume than Ryan Reynolds did, so. Too easy. Too easy.
Yeah, wait.
But anyways, on Flash. Sorry. But yeah, but Flash, we're introduced. Like, we finally get the Reverse Flash shows up. I'm not digging the black on the boots, on the legs at least. He's supposed to be all yellow, where Barry's all red. That's how it's supposed to work, but that's being picky, I guess.
Yes, it is, but that's what we do.
Yeah. But I also like I'd like that he did the face thing so you can't tell who it was. He changed his voice slightly. I thought it was pretty creepy when Barry looked out the window and there was Reverse Flash on the building across the way. Like some goofy super stalker. I liked everything on the episode except for the fact that Reverse Flash beats his ass and takes off. And instead of going, I gotta find this guy for the entire episode, they just go back to their teenage drama stuff. Like, even at the end, he comes in, you know, everyone reveals that they knew about him, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it ends with all of them at Christmas together.
Look. Christmas can't end because you had a supervillain. Come on now, it's Christmas.
It was just so. It was just an odd thing, though. That with like all the resources, they know he's around. You'd think they'd be like 24/7 trying to find him.
Jeremy, please let my wife know that you cannot see her because she's whispering in the background, wondering if you can see us.
No, I can't.
No. Okay. Are you?
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, I'm fine. Yes, thank you. What? Okay, sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we haven't had that happen in a while, so.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's doing her best to try to whisper in the back. I'm like, can you see us? I'm like, no, there. Can't see you.
No, there's no cameras on.
Yeah. I'm like,
Dude, I'm going over these old pictures of the Flash from this challenge of the Legends of the Superheroes. Even the Flash lightning bolt looks sad.
Oh yeah, I see. It's like it's just hanging
it's sideways.
Oh man,
I'm gonna have to watch this again.
I'm like, the budget could have been that big. I'm sure Marlon Brando's Coke budget was bigger than this whole show, so you do what you can do. Wow. But it's kind of like you show up to work and that's you just read this and you're like, oh, whatever, pay the bills. But I get his Batman still looks dignified. So
man,
good
still
old
Adam West.
And no.
But no, I guess with the Flash, though, going over all that stuff, it just seemed like they've tried to fit so much into the season finale, mid-season finale.
Yeah, it's like they had like two or three different stories that would normally fit. Like, and it's funny because the show normally had like one big story and like a little small subplot going, like a small sub theme throughout the story. This one is like they had like two or three different big things all happen at the same time and try to get equal time to everything. It's kind of like you only got an hour. So, like, I know, like, what did you have to fit every? Did you? It's like they, I'm not complaining about the episode, but it seemed like they tried to do too much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they had like Eddie and Iris moving in together, but Barry suddenly has a replica, supposedly, of her mom's ring. It just like all this stuff just kind of came out of the blue. Like, wait, well, there was no buildup. Like, something like a ring like that, you'd think they would have mentioned in previous episodes or something.
And it's like right after, you know, what's his name? Arrow told him, like, you know, love ain't for us. So don't even go there.
Yeah, well,
he and then also, it's like, all of a sudden, yeah, also, I'm like, okay, I won't, oh, change my mind. Yeah. Holy hell. Yeah, I'm like, talk about wishy-washy, but I mean, he's still, it's a good juxtaposition between the two shows, because, you know, he's a superhero, but he's still not a kid, but he's not a grown. It's funny, because they probably around the same age, but he just seems like he's a teenager, even though he's probably in his 20s, and Oliver's probably in his 20s, too, but Oliver feel like he's, like, you know, Batman's slightly younger brother. And Flash feels like, you know, I'd be hanging out with Peter Parker in high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've done a decent job of showing Barry is young. Like, yeah. Even admitting, like, you know, I don't know if they did the whole he graduated school earlier or whatever. But they did try to make him seem like he was pretty damn smart and got through the academy quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kid is the only guy in the science department. Or the lab. I mean, I don't know if they've ever had anybody, they've shown anybody else before.
No, it's just him.
Yeah, so it's just like, what the hell? But I mean, I guess this is just part of the unexplained nature of these shows. Because Joe West is in his late 40s, 50s. His partner's in his early 20s.
Yeah.
So yes, just kind of weird, you know. I never really even bothered with that until you just mentioned it, but now that you did, it's like, oh, brother.
It's just like it never bothered me. Like I just because it fits. It's just something I just noticed. Like Barry's kind of because usually other because it's none of the other shows are kind of like that. That's on now. Like none of the superheroes, so they're all kind of like, you know, established. Like I'm a grown up. And it's kind of like him. It's kind of, you know, he's learning the ropes. Like, everybody learned the ropes, but he's, like, learning the ropes of life. Like, he just got out of high school learning the ropes. And everybody's kind of telling, like, you know, I know you're fast, but that don't, you need experience. Slow down. Calm down. And it's kind of like, yeah, but I'm still fast. And it's kind of like, you know, he got to get smacked around a little bit to gradually learn something, which fits this, you know, it fits the story, so I never had a problem with it. But I always noticed it. It's kind of like, you know, he's a high school kid that skipped a few grades, and now he's hanging out with a bunch of grown-ups. So it's going to be that little conflict.
You nailed it pretty much. I don't know. Because they've established that Barry and Iris are about the same age, right?
Yeah, but she always seemed like just a lot older than he is. Even though that's the thing, that's the part that throws me off. It's kind of like that part. Because it's not like she's, you know, he looks at her like, that's my big sister. It's kind of like, you know, we grew up as kids together. We were around the same age. But she's not as mature as other characters. But, you know, she still seemed on the young side. But she seemed like, you know, Barry, that kid, you know. I couldn't see her really, you know, dating Barry. It's probably not the biggest age gap, as like another age gap would be, but it's still like something kind of like he got to grow up a little bit more.
I think that's a pretty good way for the whole show so far, though. Even even as the Flash, his power set, as Wells has routinely said over and over again, you know, and they even show in the preview for the next half of the season, he's still developing too. And there, I mean, there are other powers he has. Like, he hasn't vibrated through anything yet. If they give him Wally's powers, if he vibrates through something, it'll explode.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. It's kind of, I know they got a budget, and they've done a great job with the special effects, considering the money they have. But it's kind of like, how far can they go? Because it's not like Arrow, where you know all you need is just somebody doing parkour and punching and kicking. You know, like the Flash, if you get any deeper than, you know, slowing everything down or showing a red streak, it might get a little dodgy. Even though the vibration part they can do, because they basically introduced that with everybody, you know, changing their voice through vibration.
Yeah,
exactly. And exactly. So they can add that part. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, they already did the running on water, running up the building. I think that's really about the only one of Barry's powers that are left. Wally, the Flash I grew up with, he had a lot cooler stuff. He could actually throw the Speed Force on the people for like a limited time, and like at least have them keep up with him. That is how they explained how he could get people to go with him instead of just picking them up and giving them whiplash and shooting off to the next area.
Yes, from I've gotten all my information about the different Flashes from Wikipedia, from limited reading. Yeah, it's like Wally West was like the coolest one out of all of them, power wise, anyway.
Yeah, and then they just said, all right, never mind the last 30 years or 20 years of him. We're bringing back the old guy that the people growing up don't remember. Okay, cool. That was real smart. And that's a comic book speak. That's not this TV show. The TV show's been fun. So,
speaking of old guys that people may not remember, you might as well try to squeeze an Arrow before we run out of time.
Oh, no, we're definitely talking about Arrow. So.
Yeah. Okay, now I gotta start off with one thing. When they did the casting of Ra's al Ghul, I was kind of like, you know, I knew the guy like Matt Nabel, like I knew the guy from Riddick, and I was like, you know, he's a credible actor, but I'm like, there's nothing about him that screams Ra's al Ghul at all. And then when I saw the first time they had him, I'm like, who is this pudgy guy coming out the pool? Like really? Like, I was not feeling that at all. By the time I got to that episode, the last episode we just saw, I was all in. I could believe him, even with a slight gut and looking like he probably never did anything but, you know, maybe run a treadmill his whole life, just beating the crap out of Oliver Queen. And it just seemed like, I don't know how they did it, but, you know, I'm like, yeah, I can believe that. I never had to suspend disbelief once.
I'm with you on that. So hold that thought, because I don't actually want to jump to the end of this episode yet. Because it was another one where they packed in so much. They revealed the Sarah's killer. And only because Ollie wouldn't believe anything. What did you think of the reveal being Thea?
I knew that's what it was going to be from the first time. And I don't know why. It just seemed like if it's going to be anybody, it'd be her, and it makes sense. I don't know how they're going to have it, like, explain it on this show, but it just seemed like it would just fit for whatever reason. Because no other character would make sense. You know, her father would be too easy. You're not going to throw it to some random person or some throwaway character. You know, the whole, well, maybe Roy when he was under, like, drug thing, I'm like, maybe, but I could never see that there. But then the way they describe, like, you know, somebody she recognized and the height difference kind of threw people off, like, how they did it, it fit. So the whole, you know, I was drug thing and then I did it, I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, I thought, you know, like, he's a dick. Like, I know he loves his daughter and stuff, but
he's still, you know, that's the one thing you kind of, they did a good job. Like, yes, he has concern for his daughter. He trained his daughter, but he's still an asshole. He's still like a villain.
Yeah. Now that,
in that case, you might have forgot. It's like, yeah, we're going to remind you, like, yes, he is still a villain.
Now, see, that was the part that bothered me. Because it almost seems like a setup for later. And I know it's a big event that Thea's the one that killed Sarah. And, you know, she has no memory of it. She's never going... Apparently, you're never going to have a memory of it. I was confused by that one, actually. I didn't think it was Thea because it just... She wasn't around, and they like purposely tried showing like she's not here, you know. So when it turned out to be her, I was kind of like, all right, I guess.
I mean, you had to have her in it to set up the story of, you know, Oliver going where he's going. Because other than that, I mean, you gotta, who's the one person you want to protect more than anybody? It's gonna be family.
Yeah,
and that's the only family he has left. Like, no matter what's going on, so yeah.
I see. Now maybe I'm just a dick though, but he goes in and gives her every opportunity to like come clean about everything, and she's still just lying straight to his face. And how dumb does Thea think Oliver is, anyways? Because she's consistently buying stuff.
She's, you know what, as young, it's not necessarily that she thinks he's dumb, it's that she's so damn arrogant and young and rich. It's kind of like, I've been getting away with all this so far, I can get away with anything. Like, you know, and then like Oliver's a dunce, so how hard can it be? It's that whole arrogance that she has about her brother, and it's probably been fueled by who her father is ever since she learned how to, you know, grab hot rocks. So
That was, I guess, I don't know, but she even said before, like, all right, you're different. So I don't know if I can go along with that one, because she even mentioned it herself about how different Oliver is now. But I mean, I'm thinking maybe because she was gone, and I mean, maybe, you know, she's got a little of the Malcolm arrogance in her. Mm-hmm. That she thinks she's just pulling the wool over his eyes, and she's like just that slick, whatever. I don't know. The case can be made, but
wisdom. So
yeah,
because kind of like it's the arrogance, but he earned it. Like, he put the work in. She, I mean, working out for a few months don't make her on his level, on Oliver's level. But can't tell young people anything under normal circumstances.
I'm glad you brought that part up about the fight, like her fighting or whatever. That fight that between the two of them was awful. And I think I even text you, I was like, she fights like a girl. Like,
I told you, she is a girl.
That would have been the most one-sided ass whipping. I couldn't.
You're not gonna beat up his sister.
I couldn't believe though how bad it was. I know that there was like a, I guess you could say, well, there's the shock of it. Okay, whatever. But still, that was really bad.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, yeah, he can beat her. He's not going to beat up his sister. Like, yes, could he knock out his sister? Yes. And I know, like, Oliver's not kind of, you know, he's not super, he's closer to the Batman scale of being an asshole than, you know, more noble guy, but he's not going to beat up Thea. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to fight, but, you know, hold my ground. But yeah, those kicks look, you know what it reminds me of, like, I guess we're so spoiled by, you know, seeing such great choreographed fights on those shows. And especially like from watching what Arrow did, like Nikita, and used to seeing females that when they fight, they look like they knew how to fight. And then seeing her throw those little half-speed kicks, and like, this is so, like, the Power Rangers would be embarrassed by this nonsense. Like what the hell is this? Yeah. But yeah, I was laughing, and as soon as you sent me that tip, like, she fights like a girl. I'm like, she is a girl.
Yeah, but even Sarah didn't fight like no girl. You know, well, hell, yes. Even what's her name? Laurel is seemingly putting up a bigger fight than.
Well, they're women. It's a difference. Thea's still a she's like still a teenager, right?
That's what I'm trying to figure out too.
Which makes that whole.
Wasn't she just in high school? She can't drink, right? She wasn't of legal drinking age last we saw her.
Yeah, because I remember she got in trouble. Like, they tried to try her as an adult because she's about to turn 17 in, like, 2 weeks when she had that car accident. So she's still a teenager, which makes that whole thing with her boys like, well, how old is he? Like, I know he's not old, but, you know, I never looked at him as a teenager.
Wait, looked at Oliver as a teenager?
No, boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Roy, you don't look at as a teenager because, well, he's just kind of a wimpy little dude right now. But I read something about the producers actually talking to, what's his name, Colton Haynes, and saying, you know, we feel like we really slighted Roy's character the first half of the season. It's like, no, you should feel that way because he did get slighted. He has the Mirakuru in him. It apparently still seems to be in him when he gets really angry, which seems to be a theme with superhero stuff. He thinks he killed Sarah but didn't, and as you said, he's on probation now.
Yeah. So, yeah, they said they're going to, like, it's going to be 3 episodes where they're going to kind of, like, give him a central arc. And I'm like, I hope so, because he's basically been like, you know, I got your back. Nah, you tired. Go ahead, go to bed. Like, every episode, I'm like, yeah, he gets, like, once. I think he's had, like, 2 scenes where he stood out. Like, the whole first half. And he's not my favorite character, but I'm like, he deserves better than this.
I think anybody would be an idiot to say he's their favorite character because they've done so little with him. It seemed like they just put him there because of the comic book lore behind it. And that's it. Like, Roy wasn't necessary. Like, Roy didn't have to be Thea's boyfriend. They just made Thea's boyfriend turn out to be Roy. His name could have been Jim Bob. And it wouldn't have mattered a lick of difference.
But, yeah, like, when Roy first saw up, he just seemed like somebody that's taking away Diggle's time. That's how I first treated him. I'm like, this could be more storyline going towards somebody I actually care about.
Yeah.
But even saying, it's like, if you're going to have him there, use him. Otherwise, I'll have him.
Yeah, it's like, don't muddy up the works with somebody else. You know, that it just isn't necessary. You got enough people already on the show. I mean, Diggle, now he's got a baby and all that stuff. And
you got Brent Palmer there and all of that going on.
And now they're introducing Mark Singer. Yes, that Mark Singer of Beastmaster fame and V.
Are you serious?
Yes, he's a major character in the upcoming season. It sounds like he's going to be in the flashbacks.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to tell you who he is. So, if you find out who he's playing, don't look up his backstory. Because it'll ruin it. If they go this way, Arrow could get really insane, but really fun, too. So,
yeah. I will not, because it was just, we didn't really talk about the Flash. Just the fact they bring Mark Hamill back to play a role he played on the first Flash show.
He played the prankster again.
Yeah. And I saw an old picture that, like I said, God bless Mark Hamill for not taking himself so serious. And it is, you know what? Work is work. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work and get those checks. Like, good for him.
Okay.
And
if you think about it. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you.
No, I was thinking, like, I haven't thought about Beastmaster in about 10 to 15 years.
Then you, sir, have a but problem. That name, I think about that thing at least once a week.
I'm like, Mark Singer, that name is familiar. Where is that? Like, I knew the name. I couldn't think about it. It's all Beastmaster. I'm like, yeah. I remember him. That those movies.
Th- That as a kid was the greatest movie on earth. I love that more than I love Star Wars. And when you said like it's good to see that Mark Hamill doesn't take himself too seriously. Well, if you think about it, Mark Hamill made his career playing with plastic swords and like looking at stuff and, you know, the black guy, he's angry because the black guy's his father. If you really think about all this stuff. So
it's all but they playing with plastic swords. You know how serious people take their Star Wars. Lord, I mean, everything you said was exactly true, so I can't really argue too much. But I just never really thought about that playing with plastic swords and 1/8-inch models, looking at, you know, whatever was the equivalent of a green screen back in the 70s.
Yeah. I to wrap the Mark Singer part up real quick, because there's a couple more. There's a bunch happened in Arrow. If they have to work in the names Kodo and Podo, because if they do that, there will be a total meltdown on this side of the microphone right now. Do you know who that is? I'm guessing you don't.
No, I do not. Like I said, I know some of Arrow, but I'm not a DC guy like you, so it's probably some.
See, you have no idea.
Yeah. Is that, you know, probably it's, right by my
it's
head.
It's the name like, oh, of Beastmaster's ferrets.
Oh, God.
Kodo and Podo. Really? You really didn't know that? Yeah, that was his names. Yes.
You know how long I watched that damn movie? No.
Dude, I was not kidding when I say I think about that movie at least once a week. That and Smokey the Bandit.
See, we all have those movies. Like mine is Bloodsport. Like I probably know that movie, like every single line, and it's like different things I pick out in that movie. So we all have that one or two movies. Like we know everything about it, and don't you dare talk about it. So that's yours. Bloodsport's mine. That and Predator are my two.
Predator. That's just a good movie, though. I mean, I'll argue that movie to death. It was pretty much the last great 80s action movie. But we can get into that another time. It came out in 87, 89? Something like that?
I guess that Total Recall came out in 90. So, yeah.
It would just be a nice nod to Mark Singer if they named, like, his assistant. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. If they could name somebody that'd be real, or like KMP Enterprises or something, that'd be kind of funny. But
well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, because they seem like the type, like, you know, we'll drop little things here. Like they know they have fans,
yeah.
And they sound like, you know, we'll drop this for the fans, and not like beat you over the head with, like, if you see it, fine. If you don't, then you'll still be fine.
Yeah. Well, even like when we were both watching, and. Ray Palmer, he called the Adam suit. He's like, well, it was OMAC, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, if you're going to bring the OMACs in, it's like, whoa, that can be pretty nuts. But I think that's one of those nods, like we were just talking about, though. I don't think anything will come of it, because if they go the OMAC way, they can go one of two ways. They can go the new way with the OMACs being... These basically suits of armor that just take over humans, or they can go with the old way where OMAC was just one guy, kind of like a Hulk sort of thing. So, I just thought that was a cool little thing to say, but who knows? They as goofy as Arrow is, they still keep it grounded pretty much. But you also had, and this goes back to you talking about, like, nerd hackers, Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Sky's pretty good looking. Felicity's pretty good looking. Neither of them really fit the whole the hacker model that we have in our heads.
Felicity fitted probably more because it's kind of like, you know, she's socially awkward and everything like that.
But as soon as she throws, as soon as she takes off her glasses, throwing her dress, it's like, okay, that fantasy's over.
Yeah, and she dyes her hair blonde now for whatever reason. So, but yeah, but you had that. You had Ray Palmer asking her for help, and she, and the keeping true to the character, she's like, "How do I keep running into these things?" And then, you know, Ali tells her he loves her.
And the flashbacks.
I'm trying to remember the flashbacks. The flashbacks didn't really have anything to do with
The present. No, it's just a whole. I think was that all? Was it this week or the week before? Where it's kind of like, you know, you got to learn how to torture people.
That was last week. Excuse me. That was last
week. Okay, that's last week. Yeah. So this week was just more the whole what's her face? Was that, what's the white haired kung fu chick?
Oh, China. Kidnapping. Chine Wan. It's actually China White or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we shouldn't say that the flashbacks serve no purpose. They did because he shows up as one of Ra's al Ghul's. I don't know what do we call soldiers, I guess. Assassins,
I guess. Yeah. And it's kind of like, oh, I wasn't expecting him, and it's kind of, and neither was Oliver. It's like, you know, I'm gonna give you a chance. Like, take care of what you need to take care of. You got a day. So yeah, that whole setup with the league is kind of like, yeah, don't mess with the league. The whole setup from beginning to end. Like, you know, and I was like, well, I'm gonna lose, but what I'm gonna do, I gotta do something. I'm just trying to find a way to protect his sister. It's kinda like he knew he was gonna lose. It's one of those whole like I gotta go through with it because I'd rather die than have to die. But I don't think I have a snowball chance in hell of winning.
I did like how they made it seem like Oliver like had a chance. Him saying like, you know, I've got something to fight for. So you're like, well, you know, this is how it's supposed to happen. It is his show after all. So.
And that last ball, so he got maybe an extra 5 seconds out of that. You know, they've seen the flashbacks and like, yeah, you got something to fight for. But like he said, I haven't had somebody challenge me in 67 years. That should have given you a hint. Like this pudgy guy right here walking around and everybody's like, you know, I'm not messing with this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just said in 67 years and he looks like he's in his 50s. Do the math. Something's not kosher here. And I think now this is where it becomes goofy for fans compared to non-fans. Because you have the fight scene, which I actually really enjoyed the fight scene. The way Roz just played with him. And it was almost built like a good wrestling match. The guy, you know, the babyface is getting beat up, and then there's that hope spot where Oliver catches him, so you think, oh, he was playing possum the entire time. No, he wasn't. Roz just kind of let him have it in, and then I think I was just expecting him to kick him off the mountain. And, you know, miraculously, he could have landed somewhere and, you know, in a snowbank, you know. When he stabbed him through the chest with the sword, that was, I can't imagine for people who don't know the history of stuff.
Is this show being canceled? That's not what they might have thought.
Yeah, that... I know Arrow hasn't made it exactly, has kind of set the precedent for the good guy losing all the time. But the good guy on a show doesn't usually die. Like Game of Thrones wasn't called Ned Stark in the Game of Thrones. It was just called Game of Thrones. So Ned Stark.
I would say CW. You know what Arrow reminds me of? Nikita. Nikita would do something like that, because that was used to be the only show on CW I used to watch, and I had to catch up and watch the Blu-rays, and that's an awesome show. And it seemed like I could see that on a show like that,
but I couldn't see on any other type of show where like the hero just, you know, dies. Or you think he just died like that. I've seen it on that's on another show on that network I've seen that on. And it kind of was done like the same way.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a show. I remember an old show called Robin Hood, because it was based on Robin Hood. And it was on Showtime. This is when I was a little kid. And the original Robin Hood gets killed by the Sheriff of Nottingham. And as a kid, I was like, wait a minute, what? Is that the end? And in the next season, like, and apparently the Robin Hood legend, he actually died, and somebody else took over. And I'm like, I don't remember ever hearing that before, but then some blonde guy took over and continued the series as Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have, you know, here, for the sake of this conversation, it doesn't have quite the, like, I don't want to say cultural effect, but.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I don't know if you saw the show, you remember Babylon 5?
Yeah, I remember Babylon 5, yes.
Yeah. You remember the original head captain of that show? Like, he just left?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's kind of like, he died, he went somewhere, and we just got a new guy, and then he didn't pop up till like three seasons later. Like, he became, like, here he is, boom, and then never saw him again. Other than that, you don't see stuff like that. Mm. Where the main character just, boom, like, he just vanishes. I'm kind of like, oh, you know, well, something happened, now I got the chair down. So, and definitely not a superhero show.
No, but it's still, I mean, those things kind of fit the same sort of hero pattern.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking if they would have built up Roy, or even built up Thea as like somebody who could have taken over for Oliver, then I think there'd be a little more suspense, because I don't think anybody really believes he's dead.
Yeah,
and then this is, and then spoiler in case no one knows, Ra's al Ghul's kept alive by the Lazarus Pit. Well, if you stuck around for after the credits, they showed, you know, in whatever, a month, whatever, and it shows somebody standing or walking towards Oliver's body. I'm guessing it's his buddy from, is it Japan they're in? I always get confused. Where are they exactly in the past now?
They're in China.
It is China?
Characters are Japanese. Yeah, they're in China. The characters are in Japanese. Okay. The characters are in Japanese. They're in Hong Kong.
That's
so
right. That's
they
right.
Always bring it, like, you know, how a bunch of Japanese people end up in Hong Kong. So
yeah, but I get the feeling it's him that goes to get him because of exactly what you said about, you know, they were teamed up and he was, you know, being nice and giving them all that. And also, I also do wonder, and this is all the speculation part, Ra's knew, and especially when he showed up and he goes, "You're just a baby." Or you're just a boy, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That even Ra's is like, you didn't kill her. This is stupid. And then just like, just to teach him a lesson, like, no, you're going to bring me the real person.
Yeah, that whole setup was kind of like, because you're just used to Albert just being like this badass handling business. And especially after the whole crossover thing with the Flash, like they show the, you know, the difference between the two. Just to see like Ra's and his daughter like, looking at him like stop messing around. Like it's the big leagues. We gave you time. You BSing around. Like, we're gonna show you what being a hero is all about. And then right before they fight, she basically saying, you know, I'm jealous of you because you're gonna get to see Sarah before me. It's like, wow, like, is she?
Yeah.
And then him, yeah, like, you know, where's your sword? Like, I'm gonna take your sword and kill you with it. I don't need one.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, I'm gonna take yours from you. It's like, oh yeah, let's try. Foamy's got it. I'm like, oh god, this isn't. I was actually waiting for a last second Firestorm appearance to save the day, and then have him just take off. That was one thing I forgot to bring up on the Flash, but I don't know. I think it's an intriguing way of going about a series. I certainly didn't see the whole getting stabbed through the chest thing coming. I know the Lazarus Pit probably have something to do with it, but
yeah,
I wonder how long to let it play out.
You actually asked me if even they won't even show the fight on that episode. Like, you know, are they going to start the fight and then pick it up, you know, during when the winter break is over? It's like, oh, no, they had the fight in. It didn't last, like, the prayer lasted almost as long as the fight. And I like how they threw that. I'm surprised they went there. Like, it fits his character. Like, you know, once he started talking, like, it sounds familiar. Like, I'm just hearing, like, I'm hearing it in this, you know, seeing the subtitles. I'm like, you know, he starts saying some stuff, this sounds familiar. And then it's like, I need the subtitle. I'm like, oh, okay. So they actually went there. And then, you know, he just gets stabbed and fall on down.
And what's also a nice little classic kind of homage thing, the shirtless fighting is taken from the Batman comics.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that was, except Batman had his cowl on still, which is hilarious, but whatever. But yeah, man, it makes me look forward to all three of these shows. I'm looking forward to it. I know we didn't talk about Gotham, but we can slightly graze on that next time if we even feel like it. Pretty hit and miss season, so. Well, let's get out of here. We went way over what I intended, but yeah, whatever.
So audition show.
Yeah. So I don't know. Unless we record another one this week, we may not be back for another week or two. We got to figure out our plans because, see, I celebrate Christmas like a good American. And somebody else just won't get in on the Santa Claus stuff like the rest of us.
Someone else may have to actually work on Christmas to support the heroes of America. Excuse me, sir. So while, you know, somebody under a tree with an overpriced speaker, somebody else is going to be doing something productive. Excuse me.
I better not be getting beats by Dre if that's what you're insinuating. So... no. But yeah, so until Shahi gets in on the Santa Claus movement, we got to figure out something. But we'll figure it out. So just, like I said, if you're already subscribed, like I said, I've said it before. That's why I said it like that this time. As I said before, if you subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, any of the podcast stuff, just look for Stunt Granny. It'll automatically download. Because they update if you set it to update. So you'll be down. So, you know, you'll just look in your little contraption and we'll be there to listen to. So keep an eye on it. I know Kevin and Chris are actually working on a live SmackDown show right now. That should be curious to listen to. So you can download that too, guys. But I'm going to get out of here. Stunk Randy on everything. I don't care about Twitter right now. If we don't hear from you, Merry Christmas. I know Hanukkah's going on now. Muslims are usually pagans, so they don't celebrate anything.
No, ours move up the air, and no, I do not celebrate Kwanzaa. So, like, I don't do holidays made up in the 20th century. Thank you very much. I'm old fashioned that way.
Now, see, if I were to say that, because I agree. Then I sound like a flaming racist asshole.
Well, be happy I said it for you.
Yep. Now that the black guy said it, now it's okay to say for me too, right?
No, you have to check your privilege. You can't say it.
A topic for another show. So I'm gonna get out of here. Have a good time, guys, and have fun.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul Hadi, and happy holidays, no matter if you're pagan or not. We are.